It's just politics.
Just politics.
I'm Zoe Clark.
And I'm Rick Pluta.
And this is Winston Churchill.
This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Not the end, but the end of the beginning, because Tuesday is primary day. And Rick, I think it's fair to say that this could be called the summer of the write-in candidate.
There is an unusually high number of people trying to win various primaries across the state as write-in candidates.
So these would be candidates that for one reason or another didn't file for the primary ballot, but are hoping still to win by having voters, just as it sounds, write in their names on the ballot.
In West Michigan, a Democrat on the Muskegon City Commission wants to make sure Republican Congressman Bill Huizenga doesn't go unchallenged in November after his Democratic opponent just dropped out.
In the fighting 76th State House District in Grand Rapids, Winnie Brinks is running to be the Democrat to fill an empty spot on the November ballot to face the winner of that district's Republican primary.
State Representative Roy Schmidt is the only Republican on the actual primary ballot after jumping parties. But that scandal has compelled another Republican, Bing Goyi, to launch a write-in challenge.
And a write-in candidate like Bing Goyi has the challenge of getting voters to do something that they're really not used to doing.
Right.
That's marking a box with a blank next to it and then filling in the name of the candidate. And Goyi has to get more Republicans to check that box and write his name than people who simply, you know, mark the ballot by Roy Schmidt's name.
And that's a problem. That's complicated. Democrat Winnie Brinks does not have that problem. She has to just get enough people to write in her name to qualify for the November election. But it is a problem for Nancy Cassis, the former state senator who is trying to notch a write-in victory in the 11th Congressional District Republican primary over Tea Party opponent Kerry Benevolio. Benevolio is on the ballot. Cassis is not.
Cassis has talked about handing out wristbands with her name on them for people to wear into the polls, ostensibly so that they actually know how to spell her name.
But there is a question as to whether or not that would violate election laws that prohibit bringing campaign materials into a polling place.
And Rick, it wouldn't be a primary, it seems, without the usual pre-election day shenanigans.
Oh, right. We had the case of the prank robocall. You know how you get those annoying campaign calls? Usually it seems right when you're in the middle of dinner or something. And, well, there was a call ostensibly from the super PAC supporting Clark Durant, endorsing him in the Republican U.S. Senate primary.
Clark Durant is a conservative Republican who supports the sanctity of life. Clark Durant is one of the founders of Cornerstone Schools in Detroit. Clark Durant was chosen by the Reagan administration to oversee the turnaround.
Nothing too wrong with a campaign ad endorsing a candidate, except for the fact that these calls were made at midnight.
Now, if you're a voter, that's not going to make you too happy. In fact, it might just leave you with, oh, let's say, a negative impression of the candidate. So Durant's campaign and his super PAC are saying, hold on, these calls were not from the super PAC that is supporting Durant.
So is there something maybe a little more nefarious? The thought is that possibly a different campaign or even Democrats are up to no good.
Yeah, meddling. Meanwhile, in Ingham County, there have been reports of anonymous push polls in a state house Democratic primary.
These are the phone calls where they ask a question that really isn't a question.
If you knew that candidate X kicked puppies, would that make you more likely or less likely to support him? In this case, Democrat Walt Sorg says the push poll makes it sound like he wants to raise taxes to build electric car charging stations.
So the summer of the write-in candidate, the usual pre-election shenanigans. Care to make any predictions before Tuesday?
Well, we'll also hear about stolen yard signs. There are races where Republicans say Democrats have filed as fake Republicans just to muddy the waters. Here is a safe prediction. Primary fights can get ugly. When it's all over, there are always hard feelings. But at the end of the primary, the candidates who have lost are expected to unite joyfully. behind their party's winners.
And it's a really interesting dynamic. I went to school for a while in England, and people there are just completely perplexed at this idea of the U.S. primary. They don't understand how you can go months just hammering one another, saying awful things about each other, and then
This person couldn't possibly be expected to serve in a responsible position.
Exactly. But then right after the winner is announced, the loser has to just pledge their full support for this member of their own party.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the halls.
Rick Pluta is Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network.
Zoe Clark is the resident political junkie at Michigan Radio.